Well, what would be the perfect Christmas gift for you this year? Would it be a winter coat? A new phone? A gift card to Amazon? A bicycle? An Elsa doll? An audiobook? A new vehicle? A 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle? A trip to Disney World? Well, we could go on and on, huh? But this morning, I want to talk about the best gift possible. And the primary scripture that we're going to be looking at as we consider the best gift possible is in Ephesians chapter 2, where we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. So either turn to that, or pull that up, or it'll be on the screen as well. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, many of you have known the Lord for a long time, and that's a good thing. Some of you have come to know the Lord more recently, and that's a good thing. But whether it's been decades or just a number of months, this passage of Scripture ought to thrill our hearts. And perhaps you're here this morning, or you're watching and listening in, and you're just pondering all of this. Perhaps wondering the meaning of it, wondering what the implications are for you. I trust that this morning, that this passage of Scripture that I'll be talking about and preaching from will begin to thrill your heart as well. So, what do we see in this passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, we see that the best gift possible is from the Lord. That's right. The best gift possible is from the Lord. Notice again verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the," and highlight this now, "it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Sometimes people have the mistaken notion about what is involved in getting to heaven or in being saved or whatever. They think that a person gets to heaven by their good works, perhaps, or by their financial contributions, or by their church membership, or by some other means. But being saved from one's sin is not a matter of us achieving a particular goal. It's not like saving enough money for a Buick Encore or a Honda CRV or whatever the case might be. It's not like doing a sufficient number of projects or volunteer hours so that you qualify for a cross pen and pencil set or a grandfather clock or whatever. According to verse 9, being saved is not of works, lest anyone should boast. To have a proper understanding of our text this morning, we need to consider the Christmas story. Think, for example, of the announcement that was made by the angels at the birth of Christ. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, or I should say who? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's in Luke 2, verse 11. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus and the work that he accomplished on the cross and was validated by his resurrection from the dead. Why did Jesus come into the world? The Bible tells us that Jesus, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. That's in 1 Timothy 1:15. So, salvation is a gift from God. It's not that we deserve it. It's not that we have earned it. It's not that we have won some divine lottery for it. You know, this isn't Secret Santa on Wheel of Fortune, where somebody's name is drawn or whatever, and they've got 24 hours to log on and to claim their, what, $7,495 or whatever it is. No, it's not that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So go ahead and enjoy the things that your family or your friends gift you with, but don't allow that to be your focus. Concentrate on what God has made available for you and I, in Christ Jesus. The best possible gift is from the Lord. Now, having said that, let's move on to the second observation from our text, and that is that the best gift possible brings a person from death to life. The best gift possible brings a person from death to life. Now, notice again what was said in our text, verses 1 to 3. And you, he, that's with a capital H, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Did you enjoy people watching? Ever done that? So, perhaps you were at the airport terminal. You were waiting for a connecting flight, and you were sitting there, and all sorts of people walking by. Interesting. Or you're at the mall someday, and you just need a break. You're tired of shopping for the moment, and so you sit down at a bench, and there again you're watching people go by. Or perhaps you're at some amusement park or off to the beach or wherever, and again, there's people, all sorts of people you've never met, and they're going by. Now, what were you thinking about as you watched those people go by? Did you ever wonder whether those people were dead or alive? That's right. Did you ever wonder whether those individuals you saw passing by were dead or alive? Ever wonder whether the people passing by had received the best Christmas gift ever and that they had received Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord? The Bible says in John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, who is the him? Well, the Word with a capital W, the light, the Christ, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So, a person becomes spiritually alive when they receive the One, when they truly believe in the One, when they fully trust in the One that God provided for their salvation. So the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of dead people walking around. They may look really nice. They may look like you would enjoy having them as your next door neighbor. They may look like folks that you think would be good employees or good citizens. But what are things like on the inside? When Diane and I got married in, when was that anyway? July of 1977. The landlord for the duplex that we rented lived in the house next door. Now, this land, we couldn't have asked for a better landlord. He treated us wonderfully. He was as nice as could be. But guess what? He was never open to the best gift possible. At least during the times when we tried to talk with him about Jesus and the need to turn to him, there was no response. There was no interest that was not for him, he thought. Unless the person turns to Jesus, though, they remain dead in trespasses and sins. And that was our state of affair before we turned to Christ. We were under the control of the devil. We were alienated from God. We were, as our text says, children of wrath. We were spiritually dead. Now, if that was the before picture, Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 gives us the after picture of somebody that became alive in Christ. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, if we forgot about that, we'd better soak that one up again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received the gift of eternal life? If not, please know that it's not wrapped up in some fancy paper with a nice bow sitting under your Christmas tree. The gift of eternal life is wrapped up in Jesus, whom God sent into the world to be our Savior, to save people from their sin. The best gift possible is from the Lord. The best gift possible moves a person from death to life. The third thing we want to note from our text is this. The best gift possible enables us to experience the love of God. It enables us to experience the love of God. Now, I wonder if you notice what the Apostle Paul said here in verses 4 to 7. Notice carefully. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, I suppose this is a time of year when some of you are thinking about the richness of pecan pie or date nut pudding, 7-layer cookies, peppermint ice cream, chocolate-covered candies. Whatever it is that becomes a part of your Christmas or your holiday celebrations. And all that is good stuff. But the scripture that we have before us this morning speaks of a richness that is far surpassing anything that your sweet tooth might conjure up. The text talks about the fact that God is rich in mercy in verse 4. It speaks of the exceeding richness of his grace and his kindness, verse 7. And this is all driven by God's great love. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world. And that's really, to understand that, we have to realize that it is talking about the people in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world might, through him, might be saved. That's John 3, verses 16 and 17. The reality of this is further spoken of in 1 John 4, verse 10. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. One of the fundamental needs of every human being is to know that they are loved. They're loved by God, and they're loved by other people. It has to do with what... How does a person know that they're loved by God? Well, it has to do not just with what he said, but with what he did. God reached out to us while we were still in our sinful state. He demonstrated his love by making possible a means of redemption. He initiated a plan whereby we could be reconciled to our Creator. We could have our sins forgiven. We could be adopted into his family. We could become one of his very own. Have you experienced the love of God in that you responded to Jesus? And for those of you that are saved, do you experience the love of God in your day-to-day living? In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul spoke of praying for folks that he was writing to. He talked about praying for the church folk at Ephesus. And it's interesting because he not only tells them that he was praying for them, but he tells some of what he was praying for. And we pick up with that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. He was praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite a prayer, and yet the Apostle Paul recognized that was God's desire for people like you and I. It's to be our experience. The best Christmas gift possible isn't something that provides a temporary thrill. Oh, we enjoy those, you know, those rides at Cedar Point or whatever. But it's something that satisfies the inner person again and again and again. It's a lifetime of experiencing God who is rich in mercy. It's a lifetime of experiencing the Lord and his great love. So, the best gift possible comes from the Lord. The best gift possible brings a person from death to life. The best gift possible enables us to experience the love of God. The fourth thing that I want to make note of yet as we consider our scripture here is that the best gift possible enables us to experience the things we were created for, that we might experience what we were created for. Let's focus now on verse 10. So here was Paul pointing out that one's salvation is not by works. It's a matter of grace. It's a gift of God. And then he moves on and says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So you think about it. You and I weren't put together in some factory. We weren't developed in some lab. You weren't made by someone who had no clue what they were doing. You were uniquely created by the Lord. And so the psalmist, in recognizing that, said, and addressing the Lord, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." That's out of Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Not only is a person uniquely created by the Lord, but you know what? When they become alive in Christ, they are uniquely gifted by the Lord. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each one for the profit of all. And we can read that in passages like 1 Corinthians 12. But I don't know if you have, or perhaps you know people that have wandered already. What is their existence all about? Is there any purpose to life? Or wondering whether there is anything a person can do to make a difference in a world, the kind of world that we're living in? If so, the scripture we're looking at this morning speaks to that. It speaks to that powerfully. Not only did God create us with the capacity to know Him and to have fellowship with Him, but He created us in such a way that we might do the good things that He gifted us for. Verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Talk about purpose for living. Wow. Yes. Some of you are going to open some really neat Christmas gifts, undoubtedly. Some of you may even open a gift that was on your wish list. But even so, the value of that will pale in comparison to what is available from the Lord. The Lord is putting before you a life of meaning and purpose. The Lord is putting before you opportunities to use your abilities and your spiritual gifts. He is putting before you the possibility of experiencing divine appointments and of seeing the Holy Spirit working in and through you. He is putting before you the possibility of other people being blessed as you do the very things that you were created for. Have you received the best possible gift? Have you opened your life to Jesus? Have you embraced the one and only that can bring a person from spiritual death to life? If not, will you do it? Will you do it this morning? Whether you're here in this building today, in this sanctuary, whether you're watching in through social media, perhaps you just stumbled across our website or our Facebook page and you recognize that the Lord is speaking to you. He is calling you. He is calling you to turn to Him that you might experience what He has intended for you all along. Will you do that this morning? You can do that where you're at, in your home. You can slip to your knees and do that, or here in this room this morning. I'm going to ask anybody that wants to respond to Christ as Savior, trusting Him. You realize that you've been separated from Him because of your sin. There's absolutely nothing you can do, but God has made a way. The remedy is in Jesus. He died on the cross for you, gave His life that you might come to know your Creator, your Heavenly Father, and you want to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I want to trust you. I want what you have for me. I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet where you're at so that I can pray for you. And if you're at home, will you respond to Christ as well? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, your amazing grace, your incredible ways, how you reached out to us, how you sent Jesus that we might be redeemed and saved and set free and know that we have eternal life. Lord, please continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. For those that may be watching in that have trusted you as Savior for the first time, please help them to experience all that you have for them. For those of us that have known you, may we continue to open our heart and our mind to you, growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, may we increasingly be aware of your love, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, experiencing your fullness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.